Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
I think if I'm a Titan fan today, I feel pretty good about what my team accomplished. And to get as far as they did and not get embarrassed by that team, that's all I was asking for the Texans. Just don't get embarrassed.
Yeah.
They got embarrassed. So, I mean, that's a pretty good...
Well, did the Titans get embarrassed?
Not really. No. I mean, okay. I don't feel like they did. I feel like they got... I thought KC would cover 7 points. They did.
It's like bizarro world because, like, we've been sitting here. They've got to hire a new coordinator who's not from the inside. Like, they need to hire new coordinators on offense and defense. They need to get a GM. And instead, they're like, no, Bill O'Brien, you take more of the GM power, soak in even more power. Nothing that we're asking for and fans are asking for is happening. In fact, it's the opposite.
Yeah, in fact, it seems like anyone who might even remotely disagree with the guy is gone.
Yeah.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780-ESPN. Your number, 713-780-3776. You can also get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at A.J. is the real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show. Missed the first 2 hours. That's some of what you missed. Been pretty sportsy. Lots of championship game talk. Little Bill O'Brien talk. A little bit of everything.
Did we ever discuss Derek King going to Miami?
I think when it came up last week.
Did we talk about it on air or off air?
I think it was on air. Yeah.
Okay. What an odd choice.
Good luck.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
What I was told is he wanted to go to LSU, but there was not the mutual interest. So, don't know how accurate that is, but that's what I heard. So,
all right.
And that all along that UA, and that's the other thing, too, that I don't get why people feel the need to lie. I mean, he kept going on and on about he's not going anywhere, and I had people tell me he's gone the whole time he's saying that. And then you wait till the championship game to drop it. So, good luck. Adios.
Bye, boy, bye. Yeah.
So, we shall see. I hope it works out for him. But, yeah.
I hope it doesn't.
Really?
Yeah, because I don't like it when Miami's good. I want him to be terrible. That makes me laugh.
Well, we'll see. I'm sure
they'll beat Clemson. No, probably not.
Now, he'll make them better. It's just I wouldn't expect too much. See, Aaron Rodgers thinks the window is still open for the Packers to win another championship.
Aaron Rodgers always believes that. Like, Aaron Rodgers is a super optimistic guy. Like, he always thinks their team, and I guess that's kind of how you have to think. But yeah, he always believes they're right there at the door. And
I think
I disagree, that's all.
I think they're closer to a prolonged stretch of being the Lions than they are to making another Super Bowl.
Well, I think they're close to that.
And that's
I do like their coach though. I just don't know if by the time he gets it going, if Aaron Rodgers is still going to be Aaron Rodgers. I don't know if he's Aaron Rodgers now.
Yeah, I don't think he is anymore. But he's still really good. I mean, we've talked about that before. But is he going to be good enough to carry a team? And is he going to be able to stay healthy here? I mean, he made it through a full season, which good for him. But yeah, I don't know. I think that big dark cloud is hanging down when it comes to the Packers. See, the Astros had Fan Fest this weekend, and everybody went out, and of course they asked them about stuff, and nobody really answered.
No,
not that you.
They didn't give you all the dirt.
No.
Shocker.
So I wonder how many times those guys are going to get asked this, especially when they go on the road. Every single time, they're going to get asked.
Yeah.
So, your Rockets up 15 with 7 minutes to go in the fourth over OKC.
Why are they playing right now?
It's a MLK Day afternoon thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because most people are off, AJ.
Yeah, I know.
So, they go to the afternoon game.
Lucky SOBs.
You could have taken off.
Well, listen. What am I going to do? Take a day off.
There was a few things going on.
What am I going to take off the day after the championship games?
Yeah. Well, no. Who does that? Nobody.
Nobody.
Nobody in their right mind. But, yeah, so.
I took off tomorrow instead.
Well, you didn't really take off. You switched.
Well, yeah. Switched. Switcheroony.
Yeah. Well.
I'll still be working. You know why? Because I'm a working man.
I believe you.
Thank you.
Rush did a song about that, by the way. And I know you're a big Rush fan.
I'm a big Rush guy. It's well documented.
A couple of things. Did you see that Adam Sandler, that I guess that Uncut Gems, I haven't seen it, so I can't comment on it, but I guess it didn't get nominated for anything.
Womp womp.
And he said he threatened to make a terrible movie on purpose if he doesn't win an Oscar for it. Hasn't he already done that?
Well, I don't think he did it on purpose. A bunch of times. That's the difference. He didn't do those on purpose. They just he ended up making a couple terrible movies. Not his fault.
Well, he was on the Stern Show, so I'm guessing you probably heard
it. I actually haven't heard it, no.
But he said, if I don't get it, I'm going to bleeping come back and do one again that is so bad on purpose just to make you all pay. That's
was that
how
today?
I get them. No, this was last week.
Oh, said okay.
This.
Yeah, I missed him last week.
Yeah, so, yeah, okay. You know, I just say you don't really have to try to make bad movies, Adam.
Well, you don't know how he's done it in the past. You don't know his process.
Well,
he may be working hard at making them bad.
Okay, well, he's been successful.
Yeah.
So, the other thing, I don't know if, are you a Jack Reacher fan?
No,
I guess
I'm not a Jack Reacher fan, but.
I love the books. I've read a bunch of them, and I
can't take Tom Cruise seriously.
Well, and I think that's the only thing. I actually thought he did a good job in the role, but, and I'm not one of those guys that, oh, well, you can't be like, you know, it has to be just like the guy in the books. Well, Jack Reacher in the books is a 6'4" monster, and that's a real big part of his character. And that's always kind of been off-putting to me to see little tiny Tom Cruise as Jack Reacher because, you know, and I know that's kind of dorky, but they're going to do a an Amazon series now.
Okay, kind of like they did with Jack Ryan.
Yeah, which okay. I think could be really good, especially if they, you know, get the right guy to play him. But those books are, I mean, they're fun, and I think he's a really interesting character, and I don't have to read every one of the books because I've read, I don't know how many, but I'd love to see what they do with it on something like that.
They can get a tall guy this time.
Get a tall guy and be just, you know, dude. I think the Jack Ryan example is a good one.
Maybe they can get who's a great tall actor? Maybe John Lithgow.
He's like probably too old.
Oh, come on. That's an old. It's an older Jack. How about Jeff Goldblum? He's tall.
Also too old.
Tim Robbins?
Also very much too old.
John Cleese.
Almost dead. Yeah.
Mm. Well, I'm all out of ideas.
Well, I don't know who they're looking at.
But Richard Kiel.
Who's that?
I think he actually is dead. The guy that played Jaws in the Bond movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Maybe.
You know what? You know who's 6'8"? I didn't realize this. Brad Garrett.
Yeah, he's tall. How about him? Too old?
Yeah. How about Armie Hammer? He's 6'5".
He actually, that's actually
that,
not,
that
like,
might work,
as a
huh?
non-joke one, that's actually
yeah,
pretty good.
Yeah. Howard Stern also 6'5".
Yeah, Howard Stern's a tall dude.
Yeah, but I like that. I'm going to go with Armie Hammer.
They could use it. What was the guy's name? He was, you remember, did you ever watch True Blood on HBO?
No, I did not.
He was Eric on True Blood, and he's like, I don't remember, I don't know his real name. I just know he's like a Swedish guy. But he's like a tall, handsome dude. He could probably sell himself off as like a badass.
Oh, that's the guy who played Alexander Skarsgård.
Yeah, him.
Yeah, he's 6'4".
Yeah, use him.
Yeah, he's supposedly really handsome.
He's very handsome.
Because I remember reading about him being it and then seeing his picture. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, he'd be good for that
that's
job.
Not a bad one. Yeah, John Cleese is 6'5".
I knew he was a tall guy.
God, Tim Robbins looks old.
Oh, yeah. Life's hard on him.
Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah. Oh, that's all we need is The Rock is like an ex-soldier.
Haven't seen that. Haven't seen that one before, have we?
Never seen that. Maybe they'll hand him a board.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Joining us now on the program, the head coach of the Texas A&M men's basketball program, Coach Buzz Williams. Coach, how you doing today?
Doing great. How you doing?
Not too shabby. You guys started off last week with a really what I thought was an impressive showing against LSU, and obviously it ends in a loss, and there's no moral victories in conference play, but I remember you saying you didn't know if you could play with that LSU team, and clearly you guys were able to play with them. Did you take any positives out of that game?
Absolutely. I think relative to where we're at and where we want to go, any step that's in a positive direction, we're grateful for, and we use it as a teaching opportunity. We started really bad, if you remember. The first two ATOs, we were down 14. And then over the next 28 minutes, we beat them by 20. And then, obviously, it went into overtime. We did not play well in overtime. We did not close down the game good enough to win. Careless, unforced turnovers the last 2.5 minutes of a game that led to two threes for them, both off of offensive rebounds. We did a lot of good stuff. We didn't do good enough stuff to win against a team as talented and as well coached, but we did some good things for sure.
You guys win the turnover battle 19-7. Is that something you feel like you guys are starting to figure out a little bit? You mentioned the late turnovers in overtime, but other than that, it seemed like a pretty clean game.
Yes, sir. For sure the best we've played from a turnover percentage standpoint. Game was a little faster than we anticipated it being, and for us to play with only 7 turnovers, and like you mentioned, 2 of those turnovers were in the last 2.5 minutes of the game. So much better at getting shots, much better at giving ourselves second opportunities on the offensive glass. Obviously, it's been a focus of ours offensively, and I think we've made the right steps in that regard. What we didn't do, we took a step back relative to their offensive rebounds. Not to bleed into South Carolina, but both games, LSU Tuesday, South Carolina Saturday, our defensive rebound percentage was 55%, which is really bad. And so now they're getting more shots, and we had made some improvement and some strides towards us getting more opportunities as far as shots and lowering the number of offensive rebounds by our opponent. Obviously, that's the forte of both LSU and South Carolina, and we didn't handle that particular portion of the test very well at all in either game.
The South Carolina game, I mean, I think there's really one stat that tells the story, and it's South Carolina was 16 of 30 from three. It's if a team shoots better than 50% from three and they're taking 30 of them, it's going to be hard to keep pace with that. Did you feel like it was a defensive breakdown by your guys, or do you feel like South Carolina just had an on-shooting night?
A little bit of both. You know, last year at Virginia Tech, in the history of college basketball since the shot clock began, we forced more threes than any other team ever except for one. And so our defense is designed to keep the ball out of the paint. That's what all teams want to do. Ours is somewhat unique to that. It also keeps us out of foul trouble. Teams shoot less free throws because we don't foul. Most fouls occur when you're in rotation at the rim. But in order to accomplish that, if I'm guarding AJ and AJ beats me off the bounce, somebody has to help prevent AJ from getting to the rim. And so when that other person on my team helps me because I can't guard you, then somebody has to help guard your teammate who's outside the three. And so one of the numbers that we practice, one of the numbers that we watch, one of the numbers that we pay close attention to in everything we do because of how our defense is constructed is contested three percentage. So rewind a week before at Vanderbilt on Saturday, we contested 79% of their shots. The Tuesday before against Ole Miss, we contested 75% of their three-point shots. Against South Carolina, we contested only 55%, the lowest number we've had all year, not in conference ever. So combined with only contesting, in essence, half of their threes, and then only rebounding half of their misses, it's two numbers that equal a really hard thing to overcome relative to our roster, but also not necessarily our roster, just how we want to play. You know, we were second in the league in defense in SEC games only. We have distinctly forced more threes than any SEC team, and we were holding teams. We had the second best three-point field goal percentage defense. But if you don't contest those shots, and then you don't finish the possession with a rebound, both numbers are going to struggle, and that's what happened specifically against South Carolina.
In that South Carolina game, and you guys aren't a great free throw shooting team, you shot about your season average. It just, that number becomes more alarming when you get to the line so often, and you leave 13 points at the free throw line. Is that something you see your team improving at over the course of the season, or is this just a bunch that's going to be a struggle zone?
Nebo really improved. Nebo gets fouled more than anybody on our team and set the best free throw percentage he has thus far this year. 41 free throws attempts for any college team is really, really good. You want to make more than 28. You want to be in the low 30s if you're semi-good. We're doing a better job of getting the opponent into rotation, which typically leads to getting fouled. South Carolina is very physical on the ball, so some of the fouls were not necessarily out of rotation. It was just their physicality and how they play. Really good that we attempted 41. We want to make more than the opponent attempted. We made 28. They only made 7. They only attempted 8, excuse me. So that number is really good. It was the other numbers that we just finished talking about that really hurt us.
You guys hit the road tomorrow, or I guess you're probably hitting the road today.
I'm as soon as I hang up with you, the whole bus of the program, I'm looking right at them. They're waiting.
Well, I'll make it quick. You go up to Missouri, and you're facing a team that's going through sort of some of the struggles that you guys went through earlier in the season. They're having them now. You guys look at this as a good opportunity to snatch up an SEC road win the way Missouri's been playing?
AJ, we want any victory in any way, regardless of locale, regardless of opponent. We'll have to play really well. The last time Missouri played at home, they beat Florida by 15, and it was never a game. They were up 23 before even halftime occurred. So we'll have our hands full defensively. They're bordering on elite as far as getting the ball to the paint. Since January the 1st, they're the number one team in the country at forcing steals. That's not good for us relative to our turnover rate. So all of the things that you and I have talked about since these weekly talks began, in order for us to have a chance on the road, we'll have to be really good in those particular areas. Can we get a shot? Can we give ourselves extra shots? Can we make sure that they only get one shot? All of those things will come to life for sure in Columbia.
Last thing before we let you go, Coach, you guys, after this game against Mizzou, you go out of conference, which is a little bit odd scheduling, and obviously the Big 12 SEC matchup thing. Is there any different kind of preparation for Oak State than what you've been going through, or is it just look at it just like another game?
Yeah, good question. It's the first time in my career it's ever happened. So this is my 13th year, and just because I'm slow in how I process things, I want to get non-conference out of the way. Completely out of the way before conference. That's not to be negative to the SEC, but this will be my first rep of playing a non-conference game in late January. I understand that all but four teams in our league are doing it, so we're thankful to be a part of it. Those other four teams have already played, not in the challenge. They kind of play an AAC team, so those four teams will play an SEC game while the other 10 teams are playing Big 12 matchups. Just because I'm from this part of the country, obviously I grew up in Southwest Conference territory. That's good, but doing it in between at Missouri and at Tennessee, that part is unique. Will it change our prep? No, sir, it wouldn't change our prep. But it will, I think, probably have a little bit of different vibe because it's a team you're only going to play once.
All right, that's Coach Buzz Williams. Good luck against Missouri. Safe travels, and then good luck against Oklahoma.
St. Louis, the de-ice truck broke.
Oh no,
in Columbia. Florida had to spend the night there last week, and we found out a little earlier than I think we were supposed to. So we're gonna fly in and out of St. Louis. So it'll change our travel, which is why you and I are recording this at a little different time.
Well, good luck with that, and we will we'll talk to you before you head out to Knoxville next week.
Yes, sir. Sounds good.
All right, thanks, Coach.
Sam Windsor with the Houston SaberCats here. Even when I'm down under, I'm listening to ESPN 97.5 on the app. You can stream the boys from anywhere. Mate.
Is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. It's funny, I mentioned your Rockets were up 15. They lose 112-107.
I mean, is there anything more predictable?
No.
Than the Rockets going into the fourth quarter with a massive lead? What's going to happen?
It's going to start hammering them in game whenever they do that.
That's brilliant.
The opponent. I'm not sure what odds you would have gotten, but they would have been pretty good.
And I don't know what Russ was doing.
Stealing the ball from PJ Tucker and then running across the court and jacking a three.
I mean, you talk, what a disastrous team. I don't know. I mean, I guess if you're a believer in that team, I don't know what to tell you. I watch that team and I don't see even a legitimate content. I don't see them having a shot. I think they'll lose in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, they could if they're, well, they've lost four of their last five, or four in a row, five of their last six. So,
outscored. And they dropped to sixth in the West.
Outscored 41-20 in the fourth quarter.
Oh, that's gross.
Shame.
No. Honestly,
I mean, the good thing is, they're probably, well, I shouldn't say there's no way they'll fall to seventh. They're only two games away from the Thunder, who are in seventh. But, the key is avoiding the 7-8 seeds because whoever the 7 and 8 seeds are, they've got no chance against the Lakers or the Clippers. But, maybe the Nugs, who knows? What that 3-7 is all kind of the same hodgepodge to me.
I
do think it's ironic that Chris Paul basically owns the Rockets since he's been in Oklahoma City.
Considering he did look broken down last year.
He did.
He really did look like he didn't have much left. And it turns out he does. So a lot of people asking if we've watched the Aaron Hernandez thing. I have not. I thought about it. I almost watched it this weekend. Actually, my daughter came over and she was kind of interested in it, but I got her on the boys instead.
Oh, nice.
And she loved that. And so we're like four in and she doesn't have Amazon. So it was kind of a sneaky way to make sure she'd come over more often.
There you go.
So I'm a bad parent. The Rockets fired Antonio. I'm going to be pissed. The only Houston team that hasn't fired their coach will be the Texans.
The one that needs to the most.
Yeah.
Well, D'Antoni could. This is the difference between the Rockets and the Texans. The Rockets demand results. The Rockets owner demands results. I wouldn't be shocked if this goes on for much longer. He's like, no, you know what? This isn't working for me.
Yeah, and hey, I've said all along, at least the Rockets try. At least they mix it up every year. At least they make trades. At least they're trying to get there. Hasn't worked, but you got to admire the effort.
Not the effort on the court today, but
no, the effort to build the team.
Yeah.
But hey, speaking of tall guys, did you see that Trump's kid, Barron, he's 13 years old. He's already 6'5".
Who said that? I don't believe that.
Well, there he is. Trump's 6'3". There he is walking next to him.
Trump's not 6'3", I don't think.
He's 6'3". And he looks taller than 6'5", there to me. So his kid's going to be a superstar. You just watch. That'll be the savior of the Rockets. Squeeze a call in. Roger.
Hey, how's it going, guys? I just got to say this, Matt, because I just think he's blowing games at this point. I really do. I know this guy's way too talented to be doing the crap that he's doing for the last 2 weeks. I think he's disinterested with the Rockets for whatever reason. I think it's time to move him and get some value for him. This guy is if he's not scoring, he's pretty much a liability. So it doesn't matter, you know, if he's not playing defense, he's not going to do that anyway. I mean, you might as well cut bait with this guy and try and just break this thing up.
Here's my question, Roger. Who would you trade him for?
I don't care at this point. Does it matter?
Well, what I'm saying is, whatever name... What I'm saying is, whatever name you say is probably a significantly worse player than James Harden. And... I've said this every year since he's been here. If James Harden is your best player, you're never going to win a title. I stand by that. You are never going to win a title with James Harden as your number one guy. But they're married to him, and there's no possible trade that any, you know, functional team would accept that would make the Rockets better. I mean, how far down the list are you willing to go on players? Like, at what point do you go, yeah, okay. Would you trade James Harden for Bradley Beal? You want to do that? I'm sure the Wizards would like to move on from Bradley Beal. You want him to be your new go-to guy?
The only thing you could do is you basically trade him for a bunch of draft picks like the Thunder did with Westbrook, and you hope for the best, but now you're going to suck. I mean, you're not even a...
But what team is going to give up draft picks that are going to be any good?
Well, that's the thing. If they're either going to be so good the picks suck.
Yeah.
Or...
And honestly, we've seen it. James is good enough by himself to make a team not garbage. He won't let a team rot and be like a top five pick team. There's no way. If he's the best guy on your... That's the other thing about... Like, if James is your best player, you aren't winning a title, but you're also not going to lose 60 games. So, trading him for draft picks, that's a tough proposition. I don't know what you could get for him that's worth a damn. I
get the instant reaction to them choking another lead and losing four games in a row. You want to trade the guy, but there's nothing you can do there. It's like Bill O'Brien. You're stuck with him. That's why I can't get worked up over these guys either. It's just we know what they are.
Yeah.
Lamont said Aaron Hernandez is nothing more than a CTE and LGBT infomercial.
Yes.
I've actually heard that they go out of their way to try to make excuses for him. So I'm curious about that end of it. But I'm just not that interested in Aaron Hernandez. I'm trying to be because everybody's watching this thing. But it's not like I needed to see a documentary on Aaron Hernandez. It just doesn't interest me. It's kind of like the Rockets right now. And then Steven said his last physical, Trump came out 6'3", 243. By comparison, Derrick Henry is listed as 6'3", 247. Explains why they look so much alike build-wise.
I mean, I'm 6'3", 240. So, but you're saying I'm built like the president?
I think they're fudging the weight a little bit so that he doesn't look obese.
Oh, that's really disappointing.
But I do believe he's that tall, so.
I think I'm built like the president. This is a problem.
What do you think Melania would say about that?
I don't know. I got to get to work, though. It's time for me to get back on a diet.
Oh, and speaking of basketball, UT is not faring well against West Virginia.
Yeah, this is unsurprising.
32-15.
I was telling you during the break, don't be surprised if Shaka Smart's fired at the end of this season.
I watched a game against Kansas the other day, and I was like, man, they show you enough to think, hey, but this has been Texas every year.
Yep.
Yeah, every now and then they show you enough to say, okay, he's got it going right, and then they never do anything. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. And, I don't know if we could call these fun times here in Houston for sports. It's just, yeah, well, the Rockets are what they've been.
Yeah, same old, same old.
And the Texans are never going to do anything. We know that. So And then the Astros, who knows?
I mean, at least the Astros still have the players that you think can win a championship.
Yeah, I think as long as...
As long as they're not only good because they were cheating.
You do worry about that, right? Isn't that in the back of your mind that that's a possibility?
Bit. There's some guys I worry about more than others. You know, I don't worry that much about Altuve.
Yeah.
I think that guy can hit. I mean, everybody else? Yeah, I got... Yordan? For sure I've got worries. For sure. I mean, he had one of the craziest rookie years ever. Are we just supposed to go, oh, I'm sure he's going to do that again next year? I don't know. Was Yordan a was he like a number one overall draft pick? I don't think so.
I think you're maybe...
Did he have the pedigree that said he was going to be this all along?
Selling him short. I think maybe there were some PEDs involved.
Oh, come on. Roydon?
Yeah. Roydon. No, I'm worried they don't have enough starting pitching this year.
Yeah.
And now
you've got two front-end guys.
You do. I mean, you do. And
you've got an offseason to grab someone.
And, I mean, I think they've got potentially good guys in there. It's just you felt a lot better going into last year, I think. And, you know, we'll see how that plays out. But I do think the Yankees are going to be better. I think they've – obviously, when you go out and get the best pitcher available, that's a plus.
Yeah, it's a smart move.
For a team that was very, very close. And I kind of think the Red Sox will bounce back. Although, do you see they're trying to trade Mookie Betts?
No.
They're looking
at... It seems like you're selling kind of low on that.
Yeah, well, apparently the deal is if you want Mookie Betts, you got to take David Price, too, for that contract.
Yeah, it's funny when teams like the Red Sox and the Yankees are, like, trying to be budget teams. Like budget conscious, the Cubs.
Yeah. That makes no sense to me.
I mean, yeah.
That's not how you won.
Yeah. But, well. Yeah.
We'll see. I think the other thing is, at least it sounds like Altuve and those guys are kind of motivated to kick some ass this year.
Oh, yeah, they should be.
So we'll see. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It is the Blitz. On ESPN 97.5. Because you're that type, I'm the bad guy. Duh.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
All right, guys, I got to tell you about what's going on at Carbach. How about Monday, February 10th at Sterling Country Club, 11 a.m.? Carbach Brewing, join them out there in the fight to find a cure for MS, the fourth annual Carbach Classic. All proceeds will be donated to the National MS Society through the Carbach Cycling Team. Enjoy a complimentary concert by a surprise celebrity from 11 to noon, and the sponsors get to select a celebrity golfer to join their team. Jeff Blum, Kevin Walter, other Texans players, Mark Clayton, and more. Shotgun start, scramble play, lunch and dinner provided by Backyard Grill. Purchase tickets today at CarbachBrewing.com. And then Sunday, February 16th, 1 p.m. at the brewery, the Rodeo Clown Roundup. Blackberry Smoke, Corey Morrow, Band of Heathens, and Clint Daniels are going to be playing. Grab your tickets today at CarbachBrewing.com. And if you're running the 5K, 10K beforehand, 8 a.m. that day, you'll get a discounted ticket to the concert. Follow Carbach on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Pick up your favorite Carbach beer today. Or when you're out and about this week, ask your bartender to please make it a Carbach.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Join us out at Tight End Sports Bar and Grill in League City this Wednesday from 4 to 7. And then grab a drink with Nick Sciarra from 7 to 9. Treat your taste buds to their excellent food and wide selection of beers, all while watching sports with the prettiest girls in Texas. So join ESPN 97.5 out there Wednesday from 4 to 9 p.m. So you get us, and then you get Nick.
That's right.
All right, you got a dumbass report?
I do. Let's go to London, where Rashidul Islam was going to meet his fiance, but he had some public transportation issues, And he was worried about missing his flight. So he decided to anonymously call the police and say, hey, EasyJet flight 8897 leaves in 40 minutes. There may be a bomb on the plane. You need to delay it. You need to stop it now. Passengers on the crew and the crew were on the flight were evacuated and held in a gate room. When Islam arrived at the airport to check in, police realized his number matched the one from the anonymous call. He used his own cell phone to make the threat.
And if that's your last name, that's a bad look.
Not ideal.
Bad look, man.
Not wise guys. So imagine you're a cop and your daughter is like, Dad, I'm going to prom. Will you rent me a limo? And Dad's like, I'm making a cop salary. Here, just take this Porsche SUV from the impound lot. The officer seized the Porsche Cayenne during a drug investigation in April, placing it in the Narcotics Bureau headquarters secure impound lot. Surveillance footage showed the officer entering the lot in his personal pickup truck, leaving in the Porsche. 2 days later, the Porsche was returned, and a driver that couldn't be identified because it was dark drove away in the truck. Prosecutors cited other evidence, including GPS data from the Porsche, to show Coolin had used it for his stepdaughter's prom. Not wise, guys.
Seems like that should be a perk of the job.
You would think, but no, apparently not. Plaxico Burress, apparently, who is actually from Michigan, now that I think of Michigan State guy, right? Most famous for?
Shooting himself in the leg.
Yeah. Father shot himself in the leg at Howell Elementary School, could face charges for not having a permit to carry the gun. He fired the handgun at about 3 p.m. at the elementary school while waiting for his child in the school's pickup spot. God. Adjusted the gun inside the vehicle and it went off. He did not have a concealed pistol license, which, by the way, I guess it's different in every state, I guess. But in Texas, you don't even need a license to carry it in your car.
Right.
But you, if you get out of the car, you need to have it.
Dumbass.
He suffered injuries to his hand and his leg that are not life threatening. But yeah, you may want to avoid shooting yourself in the leg going forward. Family jewelry shop in El Cajon, California is out tens of thousands of dollars in jewelry after a robbery on Friday. A couple entered the jewelry store, began browsing around. They were looking at some necklaces. The young lady said, oh, I like this piece. Let me run out to my car to get my wallet. And of course, the door is an electrical door, so they have to be buzzed in and out. And she opens the door. She's buzzed out. She holds the door open. Her boyfriend jumps over the counter, grabs a bunch of jewelry, and runs out. Perfect getaway, right? Except the guy was wearing a fanny pack. The fanny pack caught on the door, and he made the choice to abandon it. Unfortunately, that fanny pack had his ID in it. And that's going to get you caught. So, hey, maybe don't wear a fanny pack.
Yeah, that's you're not a very good criminal if you're wearing a fanny pack. Let's be honest.
And B, maybe don't leave your ID in the fanny pack if you insist on fanny packing.
Indeed.
And finally, an Evansville man facing a long list of charges. A man discovered several guns missing from his home when he returned home from his wife's funeral. Turns out, it was his grandson. No, Grandpa, not going to be able to make it to the funeral today. I've got something really important going on at 2 o'clock today, like robbing your house.
That's not uncommon, by the way, people getting their houses robbed during funerals by family members.
He knew the alarm, knew the family was at the funeral, knew the safe code, knew where the keys were. The grandfather says that he'd stolen from him in the past, but he didn't report it because he didn't want to get him in trouble. Officer said when they questioned him, he denied taking the guns at first, but then admitted taking them because he owed someone money.
Dumbass!
And judging by the fact that this happened in Evansville, Indiana, I'm going to say at some point, meth was involved.
Probably. Yeah.
And that is your dumbass report, Fred.
Speaking of dumbasses, Texas is down by 27 points. 25, excuse me. Yeah, they just made a couple
free throws. Speaking of dumbasses, who can do math?
Oh. I didn't see the two free throws.
All right. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt.
Let's just get the hell out of here. You'll be on at 7 a.m. tomorrow?
7 a.m., bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Good luck with that.
Thanks.
John Granato will be joining me tomorrow afternoon, so that should be fun. Pretty decent job, Aaron. Solid job, Hoffman. That was okay. Do it again tomorrow, and then Wednesday the team will be back together out at...
Tight ends.
In League City.
By the way, West Virginia now up 27.
Okay, there you go. See, I was right.
Yeah, right all along.
All right. Till tomorrow, stay sports, you bitches.